Good morning. I'll call to order a meeting of the Board of Public Works for Wednesday, February 17, 2010. Mr. Executive Officer, if you can announce the attendance, please.
Good morning. Commissioner Shaw, Commissioner Alarcon, and Commissioner Daniels are present. You have a quorum. We have the Bureau Representative introductions, please.
Good morning. Jeff Costa, Bureau Street Services.
Good morning. Alan Kawaguchi, Bureau of Engineering.
Good morning. Bureau of Sanitation, Doug Bowman.
Good morning. Hannah Choi, Bureau of Contract Administration.
Good morning, Ted Jordan, Assistant City Attorney.
Jim Gibson, Board Executive Officer. I've received speaker cards for public comments from Dr. Williams, and we have one speaker on item number one and one speaker on item number three.
Okay, we're having public comment. Mr. Williams, you've been called.
Sorry about that. Dr. Clyde Williams, 4115 Barrett Road, El Sereno, Northeast LA. We were, last night at the Glasgow Park Neighborhood Council, we were trying to figure out what's going on with San Fernando Road. We have submitted comments through Glasgow Park and other places, and we would like to know what's going on regarding the determination. The Water Committee of the Sierra Club met last week, and we recommended that the controller might do a review of the entire stormwater program for the City of Los Angeles, both in the Department of Water and Power and in the Department of Public Works. Thank you.
Are there any other items for public comment?
No others.
Okay. The next order of business is the approval of our minutes for January 29, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
The minutes have been approved. Our first agenda item is a recommendation that we approve a proposed 2010 annual wheat abatement ordinance of intention. Could we have a staff report on this, please?
Good morning. Jeff Costa, Bureau Street Services. The Bureau of Street Service is presenting the board with the annual weed abatement ordinance for the 2010 year for comment and recommendation as required by Council Rule Number 38 and to include a forum for public comment. Upon approval of the ordinance by the board, Council has set March 24th, 2010 as the date for its meeting to consider any objections to the proposed abatement of such nuisances and for final adoption.
Could you give us a brief summary of the contents of the weed abatement?
It's an annual weed abatement ordinance. These are vacant parcels throughout the city. There's about 11,185 currently proposed for the ordinance.
Just the renewal of our ability to
This is the renewal process.
All right, so any questions from commissioners of staff?
No, thank you very much. So
all right, I think there's a speaker on this one. So, yeah.
Yes, David Dominguez.
Good morning. I am here today with my father, and we operate an auto shop at 902 West Venice, and in the near future...
I can't hear you very well.
I'm sorry.
Can you speak
into
the microphone?
Into the mic?
Yeah. Me and my father operate an auto shop at 902 West Venice, and we'll be moving in the near future to 2514 West 54th Street. And recently, the city has closed our alley access, which turns out on 4th Avenue. And several of us commercial property owners need access to that alleyway. And the neighbor behind us has turned it into a park. And I know that there's an ordinance that allows them to do that. But the fact is you know, we got the paper... You know, that says that we need. Mm-hmm. We got the notice that we need to clean up. We did clean up already. There's like already the receipts to the metal that we threw away and all that because we're constructing our new business. But the fact is, the last bit of it, we can't access it because everything's a park. He planted trees.
I don't want to. I want you to be able to say everything you want to say, but I just want to double check with you on something. What is your address?
2514 West 54th Street.
Oh, okay. I just thought you might be here on another matter on the agenda. So go ahead.
Basically, the neighbor put trees where it physically blocks us from entering any vehicle from entering back there and, you know, accessing our property, being able to, you know, remove heavy metal or whatnot. And I just want to know, you know, is he allowed to do that, you know, to deny us the access to our own lots from behind the alleyway, you know?
Commissioner Shaw is going to say something, but first, you may be confusing what this particular item is with your issue, but
yeah.
We'll come back to that. Commissioner Shaw?
Yeah, I agree. I think you need to speak to somebody from Street Services
okay.
or somebody from your council office, really. You need to work with your council office.
Council office.
But let me just ask you this. Did they plant, before you purchased the property, was the park there? Was the alley?
No, but the property was closed already. I mean, the alley was closed. But it
didn't. Well, the alley was closed. It's probably closed permanently. It's probably from our former alley program where we did close alleys and allow residents to make parks in the alley.
And if we did in fact close that alley, if there are objections from adjoining property owners, then that would be good cause for reopening that alley. We really don't have legal authority to close those alleys without permission of all the...
Correct, yes.
But you need to work with your council office.
Council office?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's CD Bernard Parks. What is that, 54th and what?
Excuse me?
54th and what?
And 4th Avenue.
Yeah. It's Bernard Parks.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually, if you need some help with that, I can work with Jeff, and we can maybe assist you in that process. So I'll give you my card, and you can give me a call directly, or if you want to hang tight,
yeah.
We could talk a little bit after. Okay?
I'll gladly
point you in the right direction.
That. Thank
no problem.
You.
Okay. So I think that was a separate issue from whether or not we should pass the ordinance, but you raised a separate question related to lot cleaning. So we have some solutions for you. Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions? Any motion?
So moved.
Second.
So that item has been approved. Item number 2 is an oral report on the status of activities of the Public Affairs Office. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning, Commissioners, Bureau representatives. This report from the... My name is Henry Ong, and I'm here to give the report for Public Affairs Office for the period between January the 18th to February the 14th, Valentine's Day. First of all, a summary. During this reporting period, we handled 159 information requests, 78 email inquiries, 37 media calls, and issued 9 press releases. We worked on 116 projects for the board, bureaus, and mayors and council offices. And we attended 4 community events and public meetings, and we distributed more than 400 information and promotional items. Graphics worked on 15 projects. Here are some highlights. The recent storms have caused a spike in phone calls that I mentioned earlier for the PAO. We received many calls from media and from constituents. And even though these are actually 311 related calls, our office was actually inundated with these calls. Michelle Vargas, our specialist, responded to one such media request from KABC, and we were able to get Wing Tam from the Bureau of Sanitation to be interviewed on the effectiveness of our catch basins. And the interviewed aired on KABC at the 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock news on February the 5th. I also like to report on the Road to Zero Waste exhibit, which you saw at the bridge. And for the first time, we had this traveling exhibit based on that. We customized the exhibit for Council District 9, the new 9th District Community City Hall, and this was covered by the LA Times and local papers, and was a good way to bring forth our message. I also like to mention about the floodplain management plan. Principal Durrell attended a community briefing in Sun Valley on February the 4th, and we've been working with Commissioner Shaw and FEMA and Council District 8. And I think we saved the community a lot of money by reevaluating the floodplain maps. Finally, like to report about the new transfers from the general fund positions to special funds, and Public Affairs Office is happy to receive a new graphics person, and she's Grace Ramos from Rex and Parks, and she should be starting next week. So anyway, that's my report for this month. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all the good work of the Public Affairs Office. It's always very much appreciated.
Thanks.
All right, the next order of business is a recommendation that we authorize the city engineer to issue a revocable permit to encroach into the public right-of-way at 3840 South Dunsmuir Avenue. Could we have a staff report on this, please? Good morning, Wesley.
The speakers who are here are the applicants, and they are obviously here to speak in favor of the motion.
Good morning, commissioners, board representatives. My name is Wesley Tenegeri from the Bureau of Engineering Central District Office. This report is regarding a revocable permit to allow encroachment of a block wall encroaching into the public right-of-way at 3840 South Dunsmuir Avenue. It's a residential neighborhood in the West Adams area of Council District 8. The property owners constructed a 6-foot tall block wall alongside the side yard of the property for privacy and security reasons. The public right-of-way in that area consists of a 12-foot wide parkway that includes a 5-foot wide sidewalk adjacent to the curb and then a 7-foot grass buffer up to the property line. So it's a little opposite of what you usually normally see, where there's a grass parkway adjacent to the curb and then a 5-foot sidewalk. The wall that you can see in the pictures is constructed up to the back of the sidewalk, so although it doesn't appear to be encroaching, it does encroach into the public right-of-way. Because block walls are not prevalent in the area, we decided to send notification letters to the adjacent property owners. We received one response in favor of the wall and one response in opposition of the wall. And the basic reasons for opposition were that it would attract graffiti. They felt it was aesthetically unappealing and reduce property values, and they thought it would disrupt flow of foot traffic. After we reviewed it, we felt that the encroachment does not impede the sidewalk, because you can see in the photo it's at the back of the sidewalk, and that it does not pose a risk to the general public. The council office is also in support of the encroachments, and therefore we recommend approval of the revocable permit.
Thank you. We do have a speaker. After that, I'm going to have a question of our attorney. Thank you.
Just a point of clarification. You know, this is in the West Adams plan, but it's a community called Baldwin Vista.
Baldwin Vista?
Right behind Village Green.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Thank you for that information. All right, could you call the speaker, Mr. Executive Officer?
Jennifer Cartwright and Robert Allen, property owners and applicants.
Hi. This is Robert Allen. I'm Jennifer Cartwright. He's gone most of the time. I'm the one that maintains the house, so I'm going to be doing the talking. First of all, the person that opposed the wall said it wasn't in harmony with the neighborhood. There's a 20-foot gray wall directly across the street from us on Sanchez Drive.
I'm sorry, are you the property owner?
I'm sorry?
Is this your house?
It's his house.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
I'm the one that maintains the
okay,
house.
Okay, got it. Thank
because
you.
He's gone most of the time. So I'm the one that observed all the inappropriate activity that I'm about to discuss.
Thank you.
But before you discuss it, though, I don't think there's a problem here.
I'm sorry?
I don't think there's a problem. We're approving your request.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they wanted us to speak.
Well, I have a question.
Oh, you have a question. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't hear very well, so.
Go ahead.
Should I speak or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Speak, but we're approving your request.
The tentative recommendation is to approve, so feel free to say whatever you came here to say, though.
No, if you're going to approve it, I have nothing to say. I was nervous to speak anyway, but if you're going to approve it, I have.
Well, I don't want to stop you if you want some practice. I think you're doing pretty well.
No, that's okay. We just want privacy in our backyard. That's all.
Understood. Thank you. But I do have some questions. But go ahead. I'm going to have some questions of the attorney. So I have a question of our attorney. I understand that there's a waiver of damages and a requirement that they submit insurance annually. Two questions related to that. One is, I assume if they don't submit insurance, then the permit is revoked. The revocable permit is not issued. Is that correct?
The board office maintains insurance documents on all revocable permits. It's a very standard operation, and we submit letters to them automatically when if we have not received an update on their insurance, and we give them 30 days notice to submit the insurance that's required. If they don't submit it, then we instruct the engineer to begin revocation procedures.
Okay, thank you.
And that's confirmed in the staff report that that's clearly a condition of the revocable permit. It may be revoked at any time.
Okay. The other question I have is with respect to indemnity. I see that there's a waiver of damages agreement, meaning that they accept the damages. But should there be third-party actions related to the wall, we do have insurance. But if the action for some reason ends up creating a liability in excess of that amount, is there indemnity? Is there an indemnity? Has a homeowner agreed to accept responsibility for any and all damages related to the existence of the wall?
That's a good question. I'm not familiar with what's in this waiver of damages agreement, so if staff could answer that, that would be my assumption based on the title of the document.
I don't have the language of the waiver, but in essence, property owner does take on all responsibility for damage or injury.
I mean, clearly it's
for themselves as well as any third party, right?
Again, I'm not sure about the exact language about third party, but the purpose of the waiver was for the property owner to take responsibility
for all damages.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly there's the ability of one party to indemnify the other is limited to their ability to indemnify. So in a truly massive liability, obviously, you know, insurance can be exhausted and all that, but that's my understanding is this is sort of our standard way of handling this.
Right. It's a standard way of handling it. It's been vetted through the city attorney's office for a number of years. Right. This is in compliance with that process. If you would like to review the process to ensure that it's adequate, we could do that, but I don't think we need to hold this up.
Okay, so I'm going to take it that there is an agreement for indemnity. The ability to actually fulfill the indemnity financially, I understand, is limited to assets, but at least there's an agreement on the part of the homeowner to indemnify for any and all liability, including third-party liability. And with that, that would be acceptable to me.
Correct. And the city's risk manager, per the report, has recommended coverage of a particular amount, and that would be, you know, $300,000 in this case, which is a fairly substantial amount.
All right, so with that understanding, I'm okay with that. Would entertain any motion?
So moved.
Second.
So that item has been approved.
Thanks.
So you're able to have the wall. Thank you for coming. All right, so the next order of business, we'll take collect together items 4 and 5, their acceptances of contracts for emergency sewer repair and for the Northeast Valley Animal Services Center.
So moved.
Second.
Those items have been approved. Item number 6 is a recommendation to Council to approve proposed amendments to Los Angeles Municipal Code Section 41.70.3 related to the seizure and impound of vehicles used in the commission of illegal dumping crimes. Would anybody like a staff report on this?
Yeah, I've been fully briefed by Street Services. I'm confident that the new language complies with state law.
So moved.
Second.
That item has been approved. Thank you, Mr. Harris. Item number 7 is a recommendation that we approve the weed abatement charge assessed against the property commonly known as 14638 Nurmi Street.
Good morning.
I see that we have a speaker on this, so I'm going to ask for a quick staff report then.
And we need a speaker card, sir.
I'm sorry?
We need a speaker card. They're at the back of the room. Where's our guard?
So could we have a staff report on this item, please?
Here you go. And you have to wait until we called. Okay, I'm sorry. That's all right. You need a pen?
Is your microphone on?
Yes, the lot cleaning division cited this parcel. It's a vacant parcel. Started off with a notice of violation. It's the notice of violation is the start of a process to notify the property owner that they are in violation and they need to clean their parcel. And through this process, they would be added to the annual weed abatement ordinance. When we went through this process, the property owner did not respond to our notifications. We have had a hearing with the property owner with our previous commissioner. There was a problem with the mailing address. The record ownership with the assessor's office was the situs address, which was the vacant parcel. The property owner during the commissioner hearing stated that he never received the notice, but according to the records, we sent the notice to the assessor's parcel number, to the mailing address that was recorded with the county assessor's office, as we're required to do. When we didn't get a response from the property owner, we cleaned it. The following year, ownership mailing address had not changed with the Los Angeles County Assessor's Office. Though we did mail out our notices, we got no response. We cleaned it again. When the property owner received the charges on his property tax bill, that's when he notified our office and started the process of trying to correct the mailing address. We did set up a commissioner hearing. The commissioner recommendation to the board was the charges would remain as reported. The property owner never had a chance to address the board. He was not notified when this went before a full board, and that is what before you right now. The property owner would like to address the board and give his side of the story to the board.
Right, and if I can just add to that, this dates back to 2006 and predates me. And the when staff references the commissioner hearing that was originally held, it was with Commissioner Cardenas. At that point, the property owner was notified. He actually met with Commissioner Cardenas, but from that point forward, he was not notified and not informed of his right to be present at this hearing before the full commission when the final vote was taken. And so from my perspective, in order to give him an opportunity to be heard, it was important for me to allow him to come back before board and state his case. My recommendation moving forward, given that this has been such a long process and that he's been very, very diligent in contacting, Commissioner Cardenas, myself, the respective council office, and so forth, is that we remove the indirect cost for the second year. And so I don't have that segregated number. I think you originally gave me the indirect cost for both years combined.
Both cleanings.
Right, with the liens and so forth. My recommendation is to recover all full staff and personnel and equipment costs for both years one and two, in addition to indirect costs for year one. But because he was not given an opportunity to be heard, I would ask that the indirect costs for year two be removed.
Thank you for that additional information, Commissioner Alarcon. Would that mean, though, then the assessed amount would be different than the amount in the report?
Yes.
So if we were to follow your recommendation, we would need to continue this item?
No.
Well, I mean, we'll still hear the speaker, but we'll just have an undefined amount?
No, we have the amount. You have
have the numbers. Okay.
Yeah, the second year indirect cost, what is the total indirect cost? I think the 2 years combined for indirect costs is $2,465, but just the 1 year's cost.
So just before the speaker comes up, I thought he should know what we're considering. Where are you going to? Oh, I don't know if we can take the bids if you're not here. There's a lot of
actually bids. While staff is calculating the figures,
why don't we go ahead and have the speaker then?
If the property owner.
Can you come forward and state your name? If you could give the speaker card to Mr. Gibson and then state your name into the microphone.
Good morning. My name is Juan Orozco. The lot in question here, when I first purchased the lot, it was connected to a neighbor's yard, side yard. And when I first purchased a lot, just to tell you a little bit about the lot, it was full of junk cars, appliances, furniture, and a lot of brush. So what I did when I first purchased it is I had it all cleaned out and I fenced it. So I was keeping my part as far as it, keep trying to keep it neat as possible because I had no idea that the city was on this themselves. And as Mr. Costa said, when they were sending the letters as far as keeping the lot clean, I was never receiving them because they were going to the lot. So once I found out on my taxes, I had all that change and I've been doing my job ever since.
I got a question. So you said you didn't know anything until the letters were going to the lot, but weren't you aware that the grass was growing?
It's kind of an orchard there, and the stuff that was growing was green, so I didn't think that was a bad thing because it was 1,000 times worse before I bought it, which makes me wonder why it wasn't on the list before. So I wasn't receiving the letters.
I'm sorry, you did or did not receive the letters?
I did not receive them. They were going to the lot. When we did escrow, I guess the escrow officer put my name because the lot has an address, so it was going to the empty lot, and I guess they were getting returned.
The letters were sent. You just didn't pick them up. Is that?
No, there's no.
Returned. Okay.
Yeah, returned.
All right, any questions of the speaker?
No, I'm just curious about why Commissioner Cotton just took his position. Do you know?
You know, I had a very brief conversation, but the rationale was unclear as to why he took the position that he did. Again, my primary concern, and staff confirmed this, was that we were notifying him of, we had notified him of two hearings prior to the actual full board hearing. So he was present at both of those hearings, stating his case at both of those hearings, and we inadvertently failed to notify him of the board hearing. The letter was never mailed.
Okay.
We had the accurate address then, and so when that final vote was taken, that's when it was assessed to his property taxes, and he didn't have the opportunity to be heard. So that was my concern.
Okay.
And given that this has been an ongoing issue since 2006, and he's been, you know, continued to be diligent, you know, I absolutely don't want to waive all assessment because the city is in, you know, fiscal straits. But I think a compromise would be to recover all labor and equipment costs and alleviate him of the responsibility to cover the indirect costs for year two.
Okay, I think our thank you very much for your. Was there anything
you.
Else you wanted to add, or
I'm sorry.
Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No.
Thank you very much. So staff has the revised figure.
I'm going to need a minute. I did the indirect costs for the first year, and my misunderstanding, it's the second year indirect costs we're removing, correct? Okay.
Okay, so I don't feel we can close this item out without knowing that number. So let me...
Let's do it because I don't know.
You can adopt the report with the instruction that we remove the second year indirect cost.
Let's do that. Hopefully we can have the figure later, but you want to go ahead and make your motion?
Yeah, if the fellow commissioners are willing to support the recommendation to remove indirect costs for both years, I'm absolutely happy to do that and to make that motion.
What's that number? That total is 24.
Do you have the number? Okay.
I do. $2,465.26.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and state the motion then?
All right, well, I will move to adopt staff recommendation, but to remove, with the amendment to remove the indirect costs totaling $2,465.26.
Without objection, that item has been approved as amended. We have the bids have arrived, so why don't we take the bids at this point?
No. Wait, sorry. She's got to go.
You want to go ahead? Can we accept the bids without a quorum?
No.
You can not accept the bid, not receive. We never accept the bids, but we receive the bids. I can open and declare the bids, and you can adopt a motion to.
All right. So we're in risk of losing a quorum, so let me take care of some business that we can right now. But let me just ask this. If there are no questions on item 8, maybe we can dispose of it. If there are questions, I'll continue it. Are there any questions on item number 8, which is a recommendation that we execute an extension to a personal services contract?
No.
All right. Yes. Any motion?
So moved. Second.
Item 8 has been approved. Items number 9 and 10 are communications from Film LA requesting permission for street closure for filming purposes.
So moved.
Second.
Those items have been approved. We will now take the bids.
I would ask for a motion to continue formal receipt of the bids until Friday.
So moved.
Second.
Without objection, that motion has been approved. So we will formally receive the bids in Friday. If we need to, do we need to formally adjourn?
Pardon me?
Do we need to formally adjourn, or can we adjourn without a quorum? I think we can continue and then adjourn later. Yeah.
We can go ahead and open the bids.
Yeah.
Open and declare the bids now.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Alarcon.
And just so that the audience is aware, that part of the reason why we're losing a quorum is because we had a washout of Mulholland Drive. The entire westbound lane has failed. And so I have two emergency meetings with the affected council members to discuss a possible full closure of Mulholland Drive. So I apologize for having to excuse myself early and for inconveniencing those who have submitted bids. But this is an emergency and a public safety concern. So thank you for your understanding.
So we will be accepting the bids today. We will formally accept them on Friday, so we'll at least get the information today. All right, thank you.
There's been a request to reopen item number 1 for a comment.
Unfortunately, we don't have a quorum at this point, so I don't think we can do that. And item number
Let's
1
Let's have somebody talk with her.
If there are any questions, what we'd ask is if the person who came speak with staff person after the meeting, and if there's still a need for the matter to be open, we could entertain a motion to reconsider or reopen on Friday. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's hear the bids. Right. I didn't suggest any action. I said if there was a need for any action, we would take it on Friday. So, how about the bids?
Let's do those bids. We'll be opening bids on 7 projects this morning. The first project is for the Secondary Sewer Renewal Program, H26B Los Feliz Boulevard and Riverside Drive, and H26C Sanborn Avenue and Griffith Park Boulevard. The estimate is $1,873,100. Vassil's Inc. Total bid. Vassil's Inc. Incorporated. $1,592,164.10. Matthew and Stewart Company. $1,702,072.95. Lots of bids. John T. Malloy Incorporated. $1,853,198. Williams Pipeline Incorporated. $1,430,485.50. Ramona Incorporated. 1,395,087 dollars. MNR Construction, 1,511,187 dollars and 30 cents. Kolich and Sons, 2,174,599 dollars and 60 cents. Andrew Papik and Sons, 2,138,687 dollars. Our second project is for the Donald C. Tillman Water Reclamation Plant Filter Railing System Upgrade. Estimate is $414,000. Harbor Construction Company, $397,000. PPC Construction, $299,750. United Riggers and Erectors Incorporated, $328,781.81. Same. MMC Incorporated, $432,551. Mallcraft Incorporated, $445,000. Simgel, is that it? Simgel Company Incorporated, $346,000. Is that all we got?
I'm going to call Eleanor and get her card and give it to her. She told these people.
Well, we got a bid. It's not really a bid. We got a submittal from Bare Metal Works Incorporated with seven what appear to be invoices for work to be performed. Each of the invoices totaling $76,430.80, but there's no documentation, no bid bond, no signed bid. I don't know what you're even doing submitting something like this, but it's certainly not acceptable bid, if you want to call it a bid. Is that it? The third project is for the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 Transit Priority System Automated Traffic Surveillance and Control Communications Systems Rehabilitation. The estimate is $5,860,000. Comet Electric Incorporated, $4,812,210. KDC Inc., DBA Dynalectric, $4,997,777. Crosstown Electrical and Data Inc., $483,000. Turno Incorporated, $4,846,765. Manuel Brothers Incorporated, a Quanta Services Company, $5,587,000. Where are we? The fourth project is for tree trimming for street lighting illumination in the parkways of Florence Avenue from Central Avenue to Avalon Boulevard. The estimate is $253,710. SoCal Tree Care Incorporated, $193,101.50. Travers Tree Service, $222,701. ISS Grounds Control Incorporated, $186,054.
Yeah, put this over here.
Mariposa Landscape Incorporated, $267,805. United Pacific Services Incorporated, $279,081. Trimming Land, $191,410. This may be a new record in terms of numbers of bids open. West Coast Arborists Incorporated, $163,502. Thrifty Tree Service Incorporated, $235,245.55.
Is that it?
The fifth project is for tree trimming for street lighting illumination in the parkways of Orange Grove Avenue from San Vicente Boulevard to Pico Boulevard. The estimate is $244,890. Travers Tree Service, $209,517. SoCal Tree Care Incorporated, $170,062.50. West Coast Arborists, $155,097. Trimming Land, $209,517. Mariposa Landscapes, $193,191. United Pacific Services, $269,379.
Same group. Be fancy. They want to be fancy.
ISS Grounds Control Incorporated, $179,586. That's it. The sixth project is for tree trimming for street lighting illumination in the parkways of Shoup Avenue from Strathern Street to Satakoy Street. The estimate is $232,200. That's it. Get rid of this one quickly. ISS Grounds Control, $170,280. Thrifty Tree Service Incorporated, $178,665. SoCal Tree Care Incorporated, $145,125. West Coast Arborists, $188,340. Mariposa Landscapes Incorporated, $190,920. Trimming Land, $198,660. United Pacific Services Incorporated, $229,620. Final project is for tree trimming for street lighting illumination in the parkways of Burnett Avenue from Chatsworth Street to Devonshire Street. The estimate is $228,660. ISS Grounds Control, $167,244. West Coast Arborists Incorporated, $131,768. Mariposa Landscapes, $149,506. United Pacific Services Incorporated, $187,516. SoCal Tree Care Incorporated, $147,478.80. Thrifty Tree Service Incorporated, $159,008.50. Trimming Land, $169,778. Is that it? And that completes our bidding for this morning. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So we've heard the bids. As mentioned, we will formally have a motion to formally receive them on Friday. At this point, I would like to turn it over to Commissioner Shaw for some closing thoughts. We can't do a motion. We can't do a motion.
Oh, we can't.
We don't have, we can't do a motion.
Okay.
So closing thoughts.
I want to adjourn this meeting in memory of Charmette Bukwa, who's the chief of staff to Los Angeles City Council member Herb Wesson. She died in Las Vegas Sunday morning, a week after suffering an aneurysm on a family trip. Bukwa was remembered as a trusted aide and skilled government insider who worked to inspire youth to pursue public service. She was passionate about public service and government service as an inspirational leader, said Herb Wesson, and we're going to terribly miss her. She worked behind the scenes as a senior aide for some of the most powerful figures in California government. She was chief of staff for Wesson when he was Speaker of the California Assembly. And before that, she served in the same capacity for Fabian Nunez. As a staffer for the state legislative analyst, she provided fiscal and policy analysis. And she also worked for the California Debt and Investment Advisory Commission and served as chief consultant for the Assembly Committee on Government Organization. She is survived by her parents, her siblings, and their children. Arrangements for services are pending. I knew her in my capacity as being commissioner for CD10, and she was just a brilliant, energetic, committed woman, and it is sad to see her go so early in her life. Blessings to her family.
Thank you, Commissioner Shawn. I would like to join in that. She was certainly a vibrant and talented person. Her passing is quite a shock to us all and certainly a loss. Thank you. So with that, the meeting is concluded.